This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. In 1976, starting a small press was an act of courage, naivete, and hope. Luckily, Judy Hogan had all three of those qualities. She was a poet, editor, and young mother when she founded Carolina Wren Press. She ran it from her apartment in Chapel Hill. At the time, she was dismayed at how difficult it was for women and poets of color to publish their work. She taught poetry in informal workshops. She'd helped publish a small literary magazine. And after meeting some of the Piedmont's most promising young poets, she made it her mission to publish the work of marginalized writers, most of them local. Judy and the press lived through extraordinary times in Chapel Hill. They involved themselves in the ongoing fight for civil rights and women's rights and the democratization of literature. Judy has since retired. Carolina Wren Press is still going after 36 years. Andrea Selch now runs Carolina Wren Press. It's headquartered in Durham, and it's grown from a scrappy regional press to a hearty national publishing house with an expanded reach and scope. In celebration of National Poetry Month, we invited Andrea Selch to join us in the studio today. Welcome to the program. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
And by phone, poet Minnie Bruce Pratt. Her newest collection is published by Carolina Wren Press. It's called Inside the Money Machine. Minnie Bruce, welcome to the program.
Oh, so happy to be with you.
Andrea, you took the press over, and when you did, tell us sort of where it was in that moment.
Well, I came onto the board of the press after they published a chapbook of mine in the poetry series in 2000. And I was invited onto the board, and as the things go, the board was kind of in a state of deterioration. We added a few new poets and people we thought would bring the press forward, and I started really getting interested in the project of the press, and especially the poetry series.
What did that mean to bring the press forward? Because all organizations are in this place where they either have to grow or die, in a sense. Well, what did that mean for Carolina Wren Press?
I think that we had a very good local reputation. We had several poets in the community that we had sustained their careers, especially Jackie Shelton Green. And we were doing good work, but we didn't have a national identity. And one of the things that I wanted to do was turn the poetry series into a national series so that we invited submissions from poets all across the country.
Why was that important, do you think?
I think that, you know, we are really wanting our voices to be heard, and they're being heard in North Carolina. Why not bring them to a wider audience? That's the mission of the press.
Well, Minnie Bruce Pratt, you were the judge of the most recent poetry contest. What was your impression, what is your impression, I guess, of the state of poetry in this country, given the entries that you read?
Well, you know, I think one of the things that is distinctive about the way that Carolina Wren is connecting to the national poetry scene is that Carolina Wren does continue to actively bring forward women's voices, people of color, and also the voices of poets who are interested in issues of class and economic injustice. And though those issues are turning up in a larger profile in the work of poets on the national scene, they're still considered, unfortunately, often not poetry. The idea that poetry has to somehow rise above the struggles of everyday life does remain embedded in the minds of some people. And what happens with Carolina Poetry Wren and the poetry contest there is that the call goes out specifically for work along those themes and from the poets who have those identities, and gives us a chance to really see how those themes are very significant in our national life now.
Well,
not just in our regional life, in our national life.
What do you think about that critique, though? The idea that certainly the themes are important, writing about those themes, being published, being read and heard, when you're talking about such important topics, is crucial. But then there's this argument over, well, is it poetry? If the point is so obvious, if you're coming at me to make this point, can we call it poetry? I mean, is that just a quibble, or is there something we should we engage in that kind of conversation?
Well, I actually think it's a perspective that comes from being quite isolated within U.S. national culture, because in the rest of the world, there really it is not seen that there is a distinction between taking a political position and writing poetry. That would be considered a very provincial position in the rest of the world. I think there's a notion within some currents in U.S. literary culture that to take a political stand means to take a particular political stand. But of course, all writing is political in one way or another. You are writing from a particular position and a particular worldview, whether you understand that or not. One does do that. And so to say that poetry can't be political really is to ignore the fact that all poetry is written from a particular position, a particular worldview, and all poetry is political in one way or another. It just depends on which politics the poet is taking.
Andrea, was that one of the considerations when you talked about taking this national? Was that one of the discussions you had to have about becoming more overtly political?
Well, our mission is political, to represent underrepresented writers. And in choosing our judges for the contest each time, we really think about that, because we know that people submit because they know who the judge is and what kind of writing they do. And in choosing Minnie Bruce, we were connecting to a feminist writership and readership.
Well, let me ask you about the appetite for poetry in general, and I'll ask both of you, and I'll start with you, Andrea, about the appetite for poetry in this country. Assess it for me.
I think it's still there. I think, you know, the economy is making it very hard for us to sell poetry books, but if you look at what's happening on the internet, it's all over the place. People are really reading each other online, and the publishers are struggling with how to make that gainful for themselves. But on the other hand, the life of poetry is really there. There are slams happening, poetry readings, all kinds of things. It's wonderful.
Minnie Bruce?
I completely agree with Andrea. I actually feel that that poetry has never been more flourishing in people's daily life. I'll give you a very concrete instance. That one of my poems from Inside the Money Machine was published some months ago in Ted Kooser's American Life in Poetry. That's a series that's where poems are put into daily newspapers all across the country, where ordinary people, working class people, get to read the poems. And when that happened for me, the admin people in the department where I teach were just thrilled. They had all read the poems in the newspaper, and actually one person came to me and said, "Can I have a copy?" This was about a poem about someone cutting hair. She said, "Can I have a copy? I want to frame it for my sister who's a beautician." So I think that those kinds of initiatives that are happening in all the major poetry organizations and in presses like Carolina Wren, the accessibility of poetry is really surging everywhere, and it's thrilling. It's wonderful.
And I guess particularly significant if you think about a poem from a book called Inside the Money Machine. It is every bit of what it suggests, the title suggests. The fact that that's in newspapers across the country tells you something about, I guess, what readers are looking for. Minnie Bruce, can I ask you to read a poem from that collection?
I would love to. I'll read a short poem. This is a poem that I wrote while I was living in Jersey City, and it mentions a subway. That's the subway that goes from Jersey City to New York City, and it's called Waking to Work. I wake, and in the moment before the next work begins, a starling scrapes on the iron railing. A car horn blares a line of known aggravating rhythm. Come on, come on. Next to me, her skin to my skin, ground still warm even as earth turns its face from the sun. Time going, gone. In the hall, the failing fire alarm chirps like a cricket. On the subway, a crumpled man slumps, head on his arm, as one finger taps an almost motionless melody onto his knee. How do we go on? longing for something bigger than us, but not this now, not this buying and selling. If we could each make what we can, take what we need, and that be enough.
Waking to Work, a poem by Minnie Bruce Pratt, one of my guests this hour from her collection Inside the Money Machine, published by Carolina Wren Press, whose director is here. Andrea Selch is with us as well. So, Minnie Bruce, this is certainly a poem of that points at economic justice, economic equality, and the commodification of all things. Is this the social issue of our time?
I think it's interwoven with a number of social issues. I think that right now, with so many of us facing economic ruin, unemployment, despite the word that keeps coming out from the sort of official mouths that things are getting better, I think that the majority of working people in this country are finding that things are not getting better. Their standard of living is falling. Their homes are being foreclosed on. They're out of work. My students are coming out of college tremendously in debt and with no jobs. And so I think that economic crisis is gripping not just the people in this country, but the people of the world. And as that crisis grips us, it also highlights other injustices that have caused fissures between us in the past. The issue of justice in the face of racism, the recent crises of the death of Trayvon Martin, the killings in Tulsa, the terrible assault on women that has been happening over and over and over again, during this presidential run up to the presidential campaign. So I think that economic injustice is intertwined, you know, with the other issues that we are facing, issues of injustice, like the attack on immigrants. You know, I'm from Alabama, and Alabama has passed an anti-immigrant law that's the worst in the country. So I'm originally from Alabama. I'm still very closely tied to that region. So I think that the poems in this book, Inside the Money Machine, really do try to see how these issues are intertwined in our lives, and also to offer some hope that we can go forward together.
Landry, you too are a poet, and I wonder if I could ask you to read one of your poems.
Yeah, I would love to read a poem. I'm going to read a poem from 2009 that I dedicated to Jackie Shelton Green, and I think this poem shows something that we're up to in Carolina Wren Press, which is poetry that is just very grounded in the daily issues of identity and health and happiness. It's called The Dead Are Dancing with Michael Jackson for Jackie Shelton Green. For nights on end, my daughter cues up Michael Jackson on her iPod, his black face, white face, boy face, man face, spreading blue light on her little white girl face as she falls asleep. I hold my tongue. I hate his songs, but I can't take away her conviction, now he's dead, that all the dead we know and love are dancing at his concert. Her namesake, Helen Swift. Shaggy old Queen Bee, the poet dog we put to sleep last year. Conrad, my mother's funny houseman. And Imani, my dear friend Jackie's daughter, dead from cancer in her womb. When she was almost gone, she called our children in to her at hospice. I was frightened that they should see death, and that I would. All her lovely flesh gone, hair just fuzz, partially beneath a scarf. And yet, light still flickered in her eyes. How to say goodbye? See you later, my partner said. Now Helen sees them all dancing as she falls asleep to Beat It, and I don't stop her.
They are dancing for Michael Jackson, a poem by Andrea Selch, who runs Carolina Wren Press, one of my guests this hour on The State of Things. Tell us about Jackie Shelton Green and her contribution to the Carolina Wren Press.
Well, Jackie was one of the first poets that Judy Hogan started working with in her kitchen table in the early 70s, and published her book, Dead on Arrival, which has gone through many, many printings and now partially exists as part of Breath of the Song that we published a few years ago. And Jackie has just done wonderful things to bring the name of Carolina Wren Press into the community. And also she has really had some awards. She won the North Carolina Award for Literature in 2004 and has been she was the first Piedmont Poet Laureate as well.
Minnie Bruce, your connections to North Carolina go way back. What was it here that it was here that you actually became a first an activist and an out lesbian, all here in North Carolina? Was that right?
Yes, I really consider North Carolina still my home because so many significant life events happened for me there. My second child was born in the hospital that's now the North Carolina School of math and art.
Math and science, yeah.
Math and science, yeah. My son Ben was born there.
Watts Hospital, I believe, at the time.
Yeah, it was Watts. So I came to grad school at UNC Chapel Hill, actually. I was in grad school there and became involved in cultural work, women's liberation. I was part of the Seminary Collective, which was both a newsletter and then a journal for lesbian culture in the South. I lived in Hillsborough, lived in Fayetteville, lived in Durham. I really have such close ties to North Carolina, and it was thrilling to me to be reconnected through Carolina Wren with that whole cultural movement, which we call the Women in Print movement in the 70s, that was part of the founding of Carolina Wren and Judy Hogan's work, to come back around full circle with this book 30 years later was really a thrill for me.
Andrea, Carolina Wren Press has published some other talented writers recently. Tell us about Nancy Simpson.
We started a new series a couple of years ago in consultation with Catherine Stripling Beyer, the recent Poet Laureate. We decided to start a series of poets who hadn't been adequately recognized through their lives. And I decided I would take the advice of past poet laureates for suggestions. And Nancy Simpson was suggested to me by Kay Beyer. She's a wonderful poet from out west. She lives almost as far west as you can go in North Carolina. And we published her Living Above the Frost Line a couple of years ago.
What do you see as the future of Carolina Wren Press?
We're carrying on. We're happy doing our poetry series, our laureate series, and our Doris Backwin Award winners every other year. And we're just going to keep doing it and keep figuring out how to make it work with the electronic world.
Well, that's, I guess, part of the question. Words are critical to this business, and I wonder if you find an erosion in the way we're even using words, if sort of the digital media and you know, social networking have sort of in any way deteriorated the way we use words or the value of words. Minnie Bruce?
Well, you know, I was just looking at a little report this morning that talked about the fact that people who read digital books are reading about 50% more books all the time than people who are reading print books. And so I think that the answer is words are being amplified by the digital world. I do think it's a challenge for publishers to try to figure out how that works exactly, because I know that people are reading online, but they're not necessarily buying more print books. On the other hand, I believe of print books that are bought, that people want poetry to hold in their hands. They may look at it first online, but poetry is something that they want to mull over, they want to go back to over and over again, far more so than, say, a novel. So I think, you know, it's a challenge to figure out, as Andrea is trying to figure out, how to go forward in this process. But of all the genres, I believe, poetry is the one that takes most naturally, if I can say that, to digital proliferation. It's compact. It conveys a tremendous amount of information in a small amount of space. It's readily accessible in that way online.
I want to thank both of you for being on the program. We have just run out of space. Minnie Bruce Pratt, author, activist, and poet. Her new book called Inside the Money Machine. For more information, go to CarolinaWrenPress.org, Wren, W-R-E-N. And my thanks to Andrea Selch, who is a poet and editor and president of Carolina Wren Press. Coming up after a short break, more fun with poetry with celebrated author and poet Barbara Rass on the State of Things. Please stay tuned.